Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. I am over 18. We have got that shocking story, plus sectarian slaughters in New Syria. But first, the good news. Trump's decided to withdraw from UNESCO. Fox News interrupted its live broadcast. I get a kick out of how one news place will talk about how another news place talked about the story. Fox News interrupted its live broadcast to announce that Trump had decided to withdraw from UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Julian Huxley cries in hell. The Culture and Education Agency, founded after World War II to promote peace through international exchange of education, science, and culture. Trust the culture. The announcement comes after Trump, who made a massive Epstein files blunder, announced a review of the U.S.'s membership in February over demonstrated failure to reform itself, has continually demonstrated anti-Israel sentiment over the past decade, and has failed to address concerns over mounting arrears. The move is part of Trump's plan to pull the U.S. out of various global organizations, including the World Health Organization and the U.N. Human Rights Council, to promote an America First agenda. Now do NATO. It comes after a Trump family member revealed the latest chilling symptom of his cognitive decline and claimed he is far gone. Again, this article from MSN is bizarre and has little interesting bullet points thrown in. I mean, we all know this, but it's kind of surprising. Host Jillian Turner halted the live broadcast on Tuesday to make the announcement. She said, President Trump has decided to pull the United States membership in the UN's science and cultural arm. It's called UNESCO, adding that the withdrawal is set to take effect in December 26. Gillian added a statement from the State Department, cited the decision to admit Palestine as a state member became highly problematic. And the United States doesn't want to contribute to the proliferation of anti-Israel rhetoric within the organization. In a statement to the New York Post, the White House deputy spokesperson Anna Kelly explained President Trump has decided to withdraw from UNESCO, which supports woke, divisive cultural and social causes that are totally out of step with the common sense policies that Americans voted for last November. State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce echoed, UNESCO works to advance divisive social and cultural causes. And they get the same, memo that they're supposed to put out to their press people, and maintains an outsized focus on UN Sustainable Development Goals, a globalist ideological agenda for international development at odds with our America First foreign policy. This isn't the first time, though. So there's been a bunch of back and forth. Reagan left in 83, and baby Bush rejoined it in 2003. So that's Republican to Republican. Without Bill Clinton rejoining it in the middle. So that's interesting. The U.S. exited again in 2017 during Trump's first term and re-entered again under Brandon's only term. The director of UNESCO disputed the president's reasoning. These claims contradict the reality of UNESCO's efforts, particularly in the field of Holocaust education and the fight against anti-Semitism, Audrey Azoulay argued. And James, as we briefly discussed before we started rolling on this episode, the real question after the yay is why?
Exactly right. So, as you know, as I'm sure our longtime viewers know, we often cover here on New World Next Week not unmitigated good news stories, as in good news, but there's an asterisk and some fine print details. In this case, we might have to invent an entire subcategory for this type of story, which I guess we could call the exact right move for the exact wrong reasons. So, I hope I don't have to fill our regular viewers in on why this is a good move and the right thing to do. Yes, the United States and every other nation on Earth should be withdrawing from UNESCO. And if you don't know about UNESCO and what it is and why Julian Huxley is cursing in hell over the U.S. Withdrawal here, I will throw in the link to, of course, the founding document of UNESCO, Its Purpose and Its Philosophy, by Julian Huxley, the first director who wrote about how UNESCO was going to have to make eugenics great again, was essentially the phrase from that document. Go read it for yourself. So, yes, good. They withdrew from UNESCO, but why? Oh, that's right, because Israel, poor Israel. Oh, you're attacking Israel, our good buddy. Yes, once again, of course, this is not about Make America Great Again. This is about Make Israel Great Again, which is what Trump does every single time. This is another instance of it. Why are we withdrawing from UNESCO? Because of Israel, right? That's Make America Great Again. Anyway, the exact right move for the exact wrong reasons. And we can also throw in the exact same things that we talked about. For example, the recent withdrawal from the WHO. Yes, great. That is a wonderful, absolutely the right move. But what can be done with the stroke of a presidential pen or robo-pen can be undone with the stroke of a presidential pen or robo-pen, exactly as the WHO withdrawal was from Trump's first administration. Biden signed back on. Withdrew from UNESCO. Biden signed back on. Withdraw from UNESCO again. Puppet, the next puppet is going to sign right back on, and nothing will have changed fundamentally. So, no, this is a good story, sure, great, it's the right thing for the exact wrong reasons, and no lessons were learned by anyone. If you would like to know how to really defeat globalism, it is not through some executive order fiat stroke of a pen. In this book, Reportage, Essays on the New World Order, I have an entire essay on how to really defeat globalism. So when you purchase this book at reportagebook.com and read that essay, you will know what is the actual solution to the problem of organizations like UNESCO. Hint, it does not have anything to do with whatever puppet is sitting in the Oval Office. So, yay! But not for these reasons.
They often joked in the making of the old Seinfeld sitcom that to remove themselves from all the stereotypes and tropes and cliches of sitcoms, one of their main rules was no learning. No lessons learned. No characters will grow or develop from the horrible things that they caused and that happened to them.
And James, what is Jerry up to these days, huh? What is Jerry up to these days?
He's trying to hide all that open news about him dating young girls back in the day, among other things.
Or the pictures of him holding guns with the IDF soldiers, I guess.
Yeah. When you bomb in Israel, yuck, yuck, yuck. Remember that one as well? Mm. So, James, does the land and the national monuments and spaces that UNESCO stewards over here in the States, what happens now? Do those suddenly, those go back to its rightful owner of China, I guess? We'll put a pin in that question and we'll find out what happens to the UNESCO lands in the moments that we're not in the group. And that's how we get going here on New World Next Week, episode 598. Our second story, age verification becomes mandatory on porn sites in the UK, gradually in France. Surely it won't affect other websites on the free and open web. The internet appears to be entering the age verification era. This was the prediction made in June by France's media and digital communications regulator, ARCOM, in its contribution to European guidelines on the protection of minors. Minors that aren't the French president raped as a 15-year-old by his teacher. It is clear, again, that's just the gall. It is clear that new fronts have opened up worldwide for the pornographic industry, which has been on the front lines for several years, whatever. Adult films are always the pioneer of every new format and technology. It's always been that way. It'll probably always be that way. It's maybe been a long time since I've made the joke, and they probably have been removed by now, but back in the day, there was always an angle button on your DVD remote control and ask who was responsible for that. That's a different New World Next Week episode entirely. The United Kingdom made headlines last month by announcing that starting July 25th, this Friday, several major porn sites would deploy age verification tools in the UK, retiring the familiar and purely declarative button, I am over 18. Among these are several websites, Pornhub, RedTube, YouPorn, TubeAid, and My Dirty Hobby, run by ILO, a leading Canadian and Cypriot group in the industry. The list also includes cam show platforms such as ICF Group, Streamgate, Live HD Cams. This is great. You're getting recordings of me saying all these funny websites and names. Cam4 and Cypriot Giant, Strip Chat. Adult video sites are not the only ones complying with the measures set out in the Online Safety Act passed in 2023. In recent weeks, a range of publishers have announced plans to deploy age verification tools in the UK, starting with Reddit, the American social media platform, which will hide its pornographic content behind a filter designed to keep minors out. The same goes for the gay dating app Grindr and even the social network Blue Sky. That sentence should read, "The same goes for the social network Blue Sky and even gay dating app Grindr." A similar attempt in the UK was abandoned in 2019 when the government backed away from a law that threatened to block non-compliant pornographic sites. In recent years, age assurance solutions and the market more broadly have developed rapidly, including the ability to deploy privacy-preserving tools, said a spokesperson for Ofcom, the British media regulator. When asked how the regulator ultimately managed to win over part of the prawn industry after an initial failure, Reddit has announced it'll use Persona, a company specializing in digital identity, which will ask users to provide either a photo ID or a selfie, which will then be analyzed by an age estimation algorithm. That's all. Blue Sky, meanwhile, will use Kids Web Services, a tool managed by the video game giant Epic, who bought and then sold out Bandcamp to hedge funds, which also offers a variety of known methods. "We have been clear with the industry on what's required, provided flexibility in how they comply with these requirements, allowing them to minimize their costs and respond to technical developments over time," explained another Ofcom spokesperson, who said the regulator has maintained ongoing dialogue with representatives of the prawn industry for years. I'm sure you have. In a statement, ALO praised Ofcom's project, saying the British regulator had presented a variety of flexible methods of age assurance that are less intrusive than we have seen in other jurisdictions. And the article notes, "This is a thinly veiled jab at France," as mine are usually not thinly veiled at all. Reddit starts verifying ages of users in the UK. That is from the BBC. Australia wants to see your papers before you press play. That from the fine folks at ReclaimTheNet.org. Ireland's new age check system kicks in and seeks to stop children accessing adult video. And 5 EU states to test age verification app to protect children. That from Reuters. Whatever. See, that's just the cucked EU. There's no way here in the land of the court rules Mississippi social media age verification law can go into effect. Ohio passes age verification law for adult content sites. But James, that's, as I noted at the beginning and throughout, this is kind of classic. They'll generally go after the nudie rags and the horror movies first, so then when they go after what you think and what you're allowed to eat, it won't seem so wild and crazy. James?
Exactly. Nail on head right there. Yes, this has nothing to do with nudie flicks and horror mags or the other way around. This has nothing to do with politicians and regulators caring so much about you and, more importantly, your children. Won't somebody think of your children other than the parents who should probably be parenting their children? We have to protect them from this online material. How can we do that? Oh, I know. Why don't we just make sure that there's some digital ID system in place so everyone can be personally identified when they are moving around online? But don't worry, it's just for those adult sites and things like that, until it isn't. And then, of course, as in Australia and elsewhere, of course, they start coming for YouTube and every other website because, well, you know, there's potentially harmful content on there. People might learn naughty things, so we better monitor what people are learning. We know that's what this is really about. We know that this is where this is going. We've been talking about it for years and years and years, documenting the driver's license for the internet that they've been working on for decades, and the idea that we're all going to have to fingerprint and eyeball scan to get online is what obviously the technocrats want. It's not even a technical question at this point. Of course that can and is being implemented. The only question is how to properly condition the public to accept that. And here is the way. Of course, we're just trying to protect you from the bad boobs and blood on, you know, horror films and what have you. Yes, of course. Yes, that's what it's about. No, it is not. So this is, of course, a part of the broader conversation about the digital ID and how it is being constructed, how this web of digital identification is being woven around us. in country after country after country after country after country. We've talked about it. We've documented it. Here's the latest. In case you haven't heard, Mexico moves closer to biometric ID. Will the people comply? Latest up at The Last American Vagabond from Derek Bros. We'll throw that in the show notes. But yes, this is what it is about. This is where it's trending. And for people who didn't catch it, I will also throw in a conversation with somebody who New World Next Week viewers should be familiar with, who was personally affected by this new censorship regime already, Ray Vahi of BitChute. I had a conversation with him recently, UK censorship and the future of BitChute, with Ray Vahi, as BitChute has been forced to withdraw some of its services from the UK because of Ofcom and its ridiculous censorship regime that is coming into place. So this is the future of the internet. We are staring it in the face. Here it comes, full force, and we are heading into it like a brick wall coming at 80 miles an hour.
And while all the work is being done quietly, diligently, constantly, there will have to be some sort of event, I would say, some kind of pearl-clutching sort of event. And hell, I mean, Coldplay dummies on the Kiss Cam, and you can see that that next event could just be a couple of steps away. It would be very easy, this is why it is so easy at times, be easy for alt-media to say, well, Mexico's only doing the national ID because they've got that Jewish president Sheinbaum, as though it wasn't going to happen otherwise. And at the same time, James, all of this is happening, normalized graphic content for little kids, suicide ideations, and gender explorations when you're single-digit age, all the while pushing that to a hardcore level, but at the same time, controlling the ability. And what when we saw these, we've seen these pushes before, you had normie professors saying, I can't post up speeches of Nazi leaders because that's hate speech. How are we going to learn about hate speech? And finally, you kind of want a content warning about now shot in the head or pounded by Israeli bombs. How a weekend of bloodshed shattered Syria's fragile peace. I just mentioned for you recently here on New World Next Week that Syria had completely fallen apart. Just a few months into the tentative rebirth of a new Syria, a bloody sectarian conflict is once again raging in the volatile southern borderlands. War now threatens to tip the country over the edge and spill into an already unstable region. Fighting has engulfed Suweida, S-U-W-E-I-D-A, a southern city with a major Druze population, the new popular Druze, D-R-U-Z-E, an ethnic religious minority with roots in Shia Islam, whose adherents live in Syria, Lebanon, and Israel. Videos shared from the ground claim to show horrific summary executions and violence. Neighboring Israel, facing pressure from its own Druze population, has taken a violent stand. Missiles have rained down on government forces in Suweida and in central Damascus, pounding the country's defense ministry and presidential palace. In this whirl of shrapnel and shellfire, hopes for a new era of peace in a nation long torn apart by dictatorship and an almost 14-year civil war are quickly fading. Instead, Syria appears on the brink of being dragged into yet another civil and international conflict. A lot of the dead have been shot in the head. 80% of the population are now refugees in the surrounding villages. It's a disaster, says Samir, not his real name, a Druze journalist who spent years clandestinely reporting from Suweida during Syria's bloody civil war. Residents of the area told The Independent that Druze citizens have been shot at close range in their homes or in the streets by troops who appear to be government forces. Videos shared online show people in military fatigue shooting men who are on their knees, which I believe is video they show us of what the horrible Nazis did those 70, 80 years ago. In one video, which fact-checking website Verify Syria has verified, a group of men in fatigues forced three men to jump off a balcony of a multi-story building as they are shot. The Independent has been unable to independently confirm any of the videos, but the death toll is climbing. And related horrifying news and links for you. U.S. citizen among eight Druze executed by the HTS in southern Syria. Sectarian slaughters in New Syria. That from the good folks at globalresearch.ca. And you remember, it didn't take long before there was those billboards of W. Bush going, "Miss me yet?" And of course, the rational, conspiracy-minded community said, "No, of course not. Your agenda never stopped. It's the same thing that's rolled on." But people are really into, like, faces and names and advertising campaigns. But maybe it is time for an update. Miss Assad yet? Good grief, James.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, there's so much to say about this. I'll just throw in another story to help fill this out, because it turns out the U.S. and Turkey are giving Syrian Kurds a 30-day deadline to integrate with Damascus. For some reason, they're just not so interested in dropping their weapons and giving them over to this government that's going around massacring everyone right now. I don't get it. What's going on? Just cooperate with the terrorist who is the wanted terrorist on the FBI hit list for the last 10 years, but now he's America's best buddy. Come on, what are you guys waiting for? It's not like the U.S. or Turkey or anyone else has ever sold the Kurds down the river before. No. Oh, man. It is absolutely just disgusting. And the worst part of it is that the Libyafication of Syria is almost complete. We have seen the entire cycle play out, but it took only a year or two with the Libya crisis. You'll remember, oh my God, Gaddafi is just going to start murdering his own population. You can see him, guys. He's about to do it. We better go bomb them to freedom and then forget that they ever existed. And that took a year or two for that cycle to complete. Well, Syria has been under attack for a decade plus. Oh, we better bomb them to freedom from that evil, vile, crazy Assad. And now they are trying once again to just sweep it all under the rug. And are you still talking about that Syria place? Come on. We've been talking about that for years. We got tech taxes. We got these other things. Hey. Yeah, this is, I mean, and unfortunately, once again, what is the average fluoride-addled mainstream media consumer going to conclude from all of this? Well, I guess, wow, it turns out maybe it wasn't a good idea to go in and completely destabilize that government in the Middle East. If only someone could have told us, oh well, we'll just do it again next time. I don't know what else to say. I mean, every single person in our regular audience knows exactly what has happened here and the travesty that this has created and just the absolute mess and how it will continue to spill over, not just in Syria, not just in the region, but globally. This is a global story. But here we go again. So anyway, yes, the massacre, the bloodshed continues, and here we are documenting it on New World next week.
The depressed New World Next Week sigh, where after 15 to 20 minutes of hardcore news can leave you feeling kind of down. Hey, but Tulsi's totally going to lock up Obama, man. It's going to happen. Yay! Good grief. NewWorldNextWeek.com. Back in the day, used to just be where we would post the video embed of each week's video. But then they kicked us off all their platforms, so there was no video embed for us to post up, really. But since then, we have been running NewWorldNextWeek.com as your source for Monarchy t-shirts and for Corbett Report USBs, like the brand new Corbett Report 2017 USB. James, you and I are kind of wondering, what's on there? What's the highlight? What will people look for and be excited about on your 2017 drive?
Good question, James. I'm glad you asked, because people may or may not have a hard time remembering precisely what dropped in 2017. What am I getting from this? So, yes, long story short, for people who don't know, these USB drives have every single article, video, interview, absolutely everything that I did in 2017 is going to be on this 2017 drive, including such little things as, oh, why Big Oil conquered the world. So if you ever wanted that in video, audio and text form, all of it is there, the transcript, everything is there on this drive, along with every single other thing I did in 2017. For example, people might remember I had a conversation with Cheered Andringa about Meet the Kakistocracy. If you don't know what the word kakistocracy means, you should find out, and you will in that interview that is one of the many, many, many hundreds and hundreds of files on this drive. Another one, very important one, just in relation to a interview I just had with Ray Sanders talking about the 103 weather stations that don't exist in the UK. I was talking in 2017 about Orwell's Nightmare, talking about the temperature adjustments that they're making at all the time to the temperature record, where they're cooling the past and warming the present to get that trend line going up. And I go through bit by bit, analyzing in detail exactly how they do that and showing examples of it. So there's all sorts of stuff on this drive. Of course, it is all available for free on my website. You can get it at any time. But if you want every single thing in one handy-dandy USB drive, NewWorldNextWeek.com is the place to go.
And they are locked, meaning you or maybe your friends or parents or somebody that you let borrow it can't accidentally erase things. You can drag and drop and copy it all day, but you can't accidentally erase the drive that you purchased from us. Everything is labeled. Everything is foldered. Audio, video, interviews, podcasts. And there is even a little video, start here video, that kind of walks you through the drive and lets you know what's on there and how to best explore all of that, James. I guess the only question we've been wondering here sometimes is like, do people have DVD drives and will they have USB ports? As we've noted for the last 20 years, they turned all our mobile devices into vending machines. You have no ports, you have no ability to literally input your own creativity into it. You're just supposed to sit on there and thwack on the dial and buy stuff. And maybe that's, we of course can't answer that question right now. Maybe we're putting that out to the audience as to always continually be able to update our own Library of Alexandria. What are some of the ways you guys are saving information? What are the ports going to be in the computers in another 5 or 10 years, James? I'm a nerd. I have multiple functioning VCRs still in the house that I use, but not everybody like that. So let's pose that question to the audience and maybe see what folks say about new future ways of having these files. I know we've, of course, discussed IFPS and other certain ways to back things up, but as a way to share the information. James, I think that's all I got, though. I'll leave it on a question at the end of New World Next Week, episode 598, buddy. Are you staying cool?
I'm trying my best, but I'm failing miserably at that. But you know what? You've blown my mind twice today, because once you spurned a core memory for me about the DVD angle button, I forgot that existed on those early DVDs, and I was young enough and naive enough not to have any idea why. What was the point of the, oh, now I get it. And secondly, yes, we should have VHS archives. Come on, why are we doing this USB things? We should start putting out VHS. Who wants big oil on VHS? If you're interested, let us know and maybe we'll consider it.
Well, and we have laughed here about the irony of putting big oil on petroleum-based plastic media for exactly. Everybody. That's the extra bit of fun. James, you know, I sometimes have technical difficulties. It's tough being remote in New Mexico. Sometimes the utilities can be a little iffy. I have joked at times like, all right, fine, I'm going to go back to the May Brussels way and I'll tape a show once a week and I'll mail it to you on cassette. Thankfully, we aren't quite at that point here. As I approach my 20th anniversary of Media Monarchy, I went online with a Google Blogspot blog called mediamonarchy.blogspot.com. That was September 11th, 2005. My 20th anniversary is coming up very soon. And again, if alternative media of what you knew in the 9/11 truth days, and hopefully your people that have never lost the plot still in 2025, your alternative media folks need your support. And one of the best ways is by heading to newworldnextweek.com or, of course, becoming a regular monthly supporting member of Korber Report and Media Monarchy. And James, that's my hard sell.
Awesome. Let's leave it there. James, thanks for the story. See you next week.
Thanks so much, buddy. Take care.
Take care.